Friends, my name is Chuck. I have a new life in Christ. I struggle with lust, codependency, control, and this week being convicted of striving instead of trusting God. So I have the great privilege of serving as a coach here on Monday night and also helping churches across the country develop their region ministry. And so tonight we kind of want to start something new. And so what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, if I could say anything to this region community, what would I say? And when Ryan called me, I don't know, 10, 12 days ago and said, hey, we'd like you to be thinking about that. I said, man, I've got my topic. I think I want to talk about surrender as opposed to striving. And in typical Chuck fashion, I had kind of the outline in my head. I thought I knew the scripture I was going to use. I thought I knew how I would say it, what I would talk about, how I'd walk through that moment until last week. So last week, I went to the church leaders conference as both a presenter and a participant. And in the Thursday afternoon session, Ryan's wife, Callie, was talking about things in her own life that she had been through, a season of grieving that she had really was walking through and having to process. And she asked this really profound question. She said, what are you grieving? And I have to tell you, I realized at that moment, man, there were things in my life that I had needed to grieve, but I hadn't. I had just pressed through, kept going, kept moving forward, and buried those things that was there. And then God did a twofer, because on Wednesday morning, my friend Emily Carter, who serves on the region team, talked about and gave her story of God's grace in her life and talked about the fact that, you know, she had been a person who had striven. And you know, it's always interesting when you get to share your testimony in front of 2,000 of your closest friends. That has its own moment. As a fellow introvert, I understand how that feels. And yet, with the grace and the beauty that only God can give, she talked about the fact that, man, she had had these moments in her life that were marked by achievement and performance at some of the highest levels that could be imagined. And yet, she found freedom. She found grace and she found mercy when she surrendered everything to God. I'd heard Emily share that story, I don't know, maybe two other times. But it was on that Wednesday morning that my heart was really ready to receive that, to hear what she was saying. And it really spoke to me and it caused me to ask this question. Are you still surrendering or are you striving? And it's the question I'd like us to consider tonight. And frankly, it's a question I'm still considering. I'm still working my way through that question. And so in some of my harder moments, what I tend to do is I work out every other morning at Baylor Tom Landry in East Dallas. And I'll go out on that outdoor track and I'll kind of walk around when I'm trying to process stuff. And it's my best time to actually pray. And several years ago, I was doing that, and I walked around, and I saw on over the back fence this street sign that is there. My last name is Adair. And here it is, the corner of Race and Adair Street. And I have to tell you, in that moment and in this moment right now, my life was at this crossroads, and it really illustrates exactly how I have been feeling in the last little bit. I'm in this race. I am doing the things. I'm walking all of this out. But I'm not tending to my heart the way that I need to tend to my heart. And you know, you can be in recovery for years and years and years, and I have been. And I found myself not practicing the very things I encourage others to practice. It's not about striving. It's about daily surrender. And I found myself more interested in the gifts and the things of God than having this deep and abiding relationship with God Himself, where sometimes you just sit and abide and listen as opposed to have to be doing something. So I've been thinking about this over this last week. And as I thought about it, I was drawn to Luke chapter 15 because Luke chapter 15 illustrates to me a picture of complete surrender as well as this incredible picture of continual striving. And so Jesus in Luke 15 tells a story, three stories, to a group of religious leaders that I would call them professional strivers, if you will. And I want you to listen how he introduces what he's about to do to this group of people. These are the first two verses of Luke 15. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" It's interesting to me. Those that are willing to surrender everything are the ones who draw closer to Christ. But those who are grumbling and complaining, the strivers, they find themselves far from Christ. And so Jesus tells these three stories. The first story he tells of a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of the sheep was lost, and he left the 99 and he went and found the one, and there was great rejoicing. And the second story, he tells this moment of a woman who lost a coin. And she cleans out everything in her house and she sweeps her house completely clean until she finds the coin, and it fills her with great joy. And then Jesus tells a third story that we have kind of labeled over time, the story of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means extravagantly wasteful. And so you see this in the story. The young son goes to his father. And he says, "Father, give me my inheritance." In the Near Eastern world, what he basically said to him was, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me the things I want from you and let me go on my way." See, we know this son. We've been this son. Or let me personalize that. At least I've been this son, a one who's rebelled and gone his own way and done his own thing and lived life on his own terms with me at the center of my world. I have been more concerned about the things that concerned me and the gifts of the Father than I have been concerned about the Father himself. And if you've read Luke 15, you know this story, that this young man goes and does exactly what he intends to do. He lives his life on fast forward as hard as he can, and then the money runs out. And a Jewish boy finds himself in a pig pen. And in verse 17, you hear these words, "But when he came to himself..." Some translations say when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but here I perish with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father." And as he arises and goes to his father sees him from afar off, and he does something that no Near Eastern father would do. He hikes his robe up and he starts running toward his son. And he grabs him, and he holds him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him. And he said, "This son of mine is back home." And he says, "Quick, bring me a robe, bring me a ring, bring sandals for his feet. For this son of mine who has been lost is now found. This one who has been dead is now alive." And the father sits and he reserves this moment. He says, "Let's slay the fatted calf." That the fatted calf is the one who is reserved for the most special of all celebration. And he goes in with his son and his friends, and they begin to celebrate. And you think, that's a great story. But it continues. There's another brother in this story. He stayed home. He's done everything right. He works for the father. You would think in some ways he's going to be the hero of the story. And the brother hears the celebration. And when he hears the celebration, he asks one of the servants, "What's going on?" And he said, "Your brother who was gone is now back, and your father has killed the fatted calf for him." So now the brother is outside and he is angry beyond words. He won't go into the party for his brother. In fact, his father has to leave his guest and come outside to be with this other son. And I want you to listen to the angry words this brother has for his father. He looks at him and says, "Look, all these years I have served you. I have never disobeyed, not one of your commands, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he doesn't even call him his brother. When this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Isn't it interesting? See, I think when we don't understand the gospel fully, we will return to being condescending and condemning. We will become anxious and insecure, and we will become perpetually angry. And such is the case of the elder brother, and such is the case of those of us who forget that this walk in Christ is a daily journey of surrender with a Father who runs to meet us, who wants only good for us. Every day we decide if we're willing to surrender everything to God and allow him to be not only the Lord of our salvation, but the Lord of the very details of our lives. Every day we decide if we're going to be a human doing, someone who does all of the tasks associated with being a Christ follower, or a human being, one who is being daily conformed to the image of Christ, and that is the work of God. Every day we make that decision. And in our world, we have to sit there and look and go, am I willing to do that? So what does daily surrender look like in our daily life? Let me give you an example. So last Monday night, Patty Robertson, who's in our community group and a regen coach, my wife Chris and I are walking across the Sky Bridge from the West Tower over here. We'd been at leader dinner. We're coming over here for large group, and my phone rings, and I answer it, which was kind of unusual. I typically don't. But that night, I answered my phone, and it's a friend of mine that I have known. Met her at the Dawson State Jail when I was doing ministry there, but really got to know her when she was living in a transition house that wasn't very far from where Chris and I lived. And we'd spent a lot of time with her. She'd gone to jail for drug addiction that was pretty extreme. And over the course of the years, her life has had its ups and downs, and she's done really, really pretty well. But she had substituted that drug addiction for an alcohol addiction that has really, really messed with her life. And she called and she said, Chuck, I'm in this place called Watermark. And I'm in this thing, you've been talking about this regeneration stuff, and they say that's where it is. And I said, where are you? And she said, I told you, I'm at Watermark. I went, no, you don't understand my question. Where at Watermark are you? And about that time, my wife looks down on the screen, and she goes, hey, there's. And I said, I'll be there in 30 seconds. And I walked down the steps, and she's out by the pond, and she goes, what in the world? I said, come on, go with me. So we came inside, and we sat up where we normally sit, which is back up here in this balcony, and we went through large group. And after, in the middle of all that, my friend Russ Robertson, who'd been out parking cars with guys in the group that he's coaching, he comes in and sits down. And then after this moment is over with, and after large group has finished, I'm introducing her to my friends. And all at once, she looks at Russ, and Russ looks at her. And he says, I know you. She said, you're the guy that told me I was in the right place. Come on, y'all. When God does what God does, he puts all the details together, make sure that everything is in its place so we can do exactly what we need to do in this moment. Listen, I would say to all of us tonight, everybody can find themselves in this parable. Some of you find yourself like the son who'd run away in the desert, isolated, alone. And you've walked in here on Monday night. And here's what you do. You wonder if God is good. And you wonder if God could love you. And you wonder, could God do anything with this life of mine? But then there are others. Others walk into this room and they walk into the trap that I have found myself in. You are doing the right things. You are having your quiet times. You're praying. You're leading in ministry. You're gaining victory in some of your sin struggles. You have all of the things of God, but the peace of God that passes all understanding, that seems to be missing from your life. That daily surrender, that daily journey has just become one more task and not an encounter with the creator of the universe. You have the things of the Father, but you've missed the Father. And the Father is running hard towards you. So I want to put my sign back up again. I want you to kind of see where you are. Listen, I'm at this crossroads right now. I thought I'd settled this years ago. But see, I have to learn just like everyone else has to learn that recovery is a daily journey. Long-term sobriety is overrated. We have what God gives us today. And we spend our time walking through this today. See, this past week reminded me that I've been much more about the striving than surrendering everything to the care and the control of Christ. So if you could put your name on the bottom of that sign and you could put the thing that describes where you are on the top of that sign, what is your crossroads? Where are you in your daily surrender? What does surrender look like in this moment? It may be putting new people, new places, new things into the rhythm of your life. It might be being honest and confessing that one thing that you said, I'll never say these words out loud. I'll go to the grave with this one. But when you confess it, you find the freedom that only God can give. See, at this point in my journey, and I'm walking this out, y'all, this is not a completed thing for me. Daily surrender for me is a life that is anchored in Jesus, that has nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide. True freedom is the ability to choose your own master. And when you choose this Jesus, he comes to you and he says, come to me. You who are striving, who are laboring, and let me give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, in daily surrender, we are reminded that God is good and God's mercies endure forever. And now you get to hear my friend Mark share his story of God's grace in his life. So welcome, my friend Mark.